What's up, guys? Welcome to Beyond the Gym Floor. This week we have Jess in the house because Jason's out sick, and we are unpacking all things service. So we start off the episode talking about books, which leads into talking about the tendency for mental masturbation and just reading and digesting heaps of fucking content and doing nothing with it and how to avoid that. We go into how to build good relationships with clients, how your current state might actually affect how you're communicating with them. So body language, tone of voice, all those types of things, how they're affecting your ability to succeed right now. And then we go really deep into service. What actually makes a premium service for a personal trainer? Is it features? Is it feelings? Is it overlap of both? And how do you go about maximizing all of that? Don't forget that we are running our intensive face-to-face workshop on the 2nd and 3rd of September. So it's about 3 weeks, 2 weeks away when this comes out. If you haven't already got your tickets, make sure you secure those very soon. It's going to be a huge weekend, lots and lots of value. And also, our PT standout PT scorecard is available on the website right now. So stcfit.com, if you hover over the STC Learn part, you'll find the standout PT scorecard, which comes with a 10-page resource to help you level up your business and put yourself at the top of the industry in your club, online, wherever you are looking to go. Anyway, enjoy the episode. Send likes and prayers to Jason. Hopefully he gets better. And we'll see you again next week. I love just coming in with no plan when you're here. It's the best. You get so stressed.
I am such... For someone that can talk a lot, I do.
You can talk a lot. You just need to know what you're supposed to talk about.
100%. That's why
nothing.
I asked for 12 hours notice.
Yeah.
On, and you're lucky I don't take modafinil before I come here. Otherwise, I will deep dive any conversation.
Well, we are on service week. That's all you need to know. It's all the audience needs to know yet.
Okay, cool.
So we're up to the service pillar of our five pillars. We've done self, we've done systems, now we're on service. Keep an eye out for the YouTube video this week as well. That's it. That's the end of the episode.
Slay. You'll notice that I'm not Jason.
Oh, yeah. We did that in the other episode. We probably should do it here too. Hey, Jess.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Jason's sick. We made a really big deal about it on the other podcast, bro. So if you want to, we care about you on the other one. But we've already done it. We can't do it twice. You get nothing here.
Does this one get released after?
It's first. So you have to wait till Wednesday to hear us care about you.
Awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, Jason's sick. So he's MIA. And we also need to, because if you only listen to this podcast, not the other one, we're now recording a week in advance instead of a few days in advance. So if our references are old,
outdated,
it's not our fault. Jason normally brings like the topics of what's happening in the world. I don't pay enough attention. You probably don't either. Don't watch TV and shit either.
Oh, it depends on context.
Jess.
Ben.
I feel like my chest just grew.
Salt. Go back down.
I posted last night that I need book recommendations and you didn't reply and I'm upset about it. So I know you're a reader.
I am, but I'm still reading Witches.
I see. But you've read before that. Surely you got some favorites hidden away.
Do
you like log stuff?
I think because I was like, I specifically said a hero's journey book. I feel like people were like, I don't know what that is. So they just didn't give me any suggestions. I got sucked.
Yeah.
Your mate just sent me one, Ashley.
You can show me if you don't want to write.
I always forget her name because her Instagram name isn't her name.
Who?
So I just know her as the strong dietitian.
Oh, Zoya. Zoya Froth's hero's journey book.
Yeah.
Hi, Zoya. Love you.
Thank you, Zoya. I probably will actually read it.
Yeah, she's pretty good with that stuff.
Yeah. Name of the Wind.
I reckon she's recommended that for me, too.
My mate messaged me and said Toy Story, nail-biting stuff.
Well, The Wheel of Time.
I read the first three.
Only reason I got into those was because of Zoya's partner, Nathan.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he's like the only one of my friends that likes The Lord of the Rings. So he was only one that I could talk to about it. And he was like, if you like that, then you should read this.
Yeah.
But since...
Is Lord of the Rings as long? Because I don't know.
It's pretty...
Yes. But I found Lord of the Rings so, like, J.R. Tolkien, so much easier to read. Like, I fly through it. And I read The Hobbit when I was really, really young. Like, that's like school literature, primary school. But it was like...
reading at an adult level in grade 5.
I had to. I enjoyed the books before I enjoyed the movies.
Yeah, so I hate the movies.
I hate you. That's okay. So mean.
I'm sorry.
But I didn't really get into the Lord of the Rings. I think I really suppressed that part of myself because I thought that
not cool.
I had to be cool.
Yeah.
But I find them so easy to read in comparison. Like, there's a lot of like poems and songs throughout them as well. More so the Hobbits than the Lord of the Rings. But I found them so much easier to read. The Wheel of Time was really hard. But this year I've really, really struggled to put a big dent in any reading.
Yeah.
Since
you were saying before, 10 pages a night. So Wheel of Time's going to take a year.
Yeah. Literally. So it's very, like, I can't really prioritize too many things at once. Otherwise, I get nothing done.
Yeah.
So if I am focusing on training, for example, then that means I need to go to bed earlier to train in the morning.
Yeah.
So something like reading drops off. And I like to write like a to-do list for the next day before I go to bed as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that and I read and then I fall asleep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so the Kindle doesn't give you pages. It gives you time.
Yeah.
So it analyzes your reading speed and then it's like, this is how long the book's going to take. So Wheel of Time, they're usually like 35 hours predicted for me. So it's like, it's such a big commitment. When you see that, you're like, fuck. If I read same, like half an hour a day, it's 60. Yeah.
Literally 3 days of reading for you would just be about the one scene in that book.
Yeah.
It would just be you walking through the forest to go to the house to see the people have been attacked.
But fuck, you'll know what that house looks like.
Oh, from every perspective.
Yeah, it's actually really good and I really like the story. I'm just not ready yet. I'm not ready to go to the next one. And then I did Mistborn and that fucked me up too because that comes as a trilogy.
Yeah.
And it's one book in the Kindle. So I opened that up and it's like, hey, this is 90 hours. I was like, all right, I'll see you all in 6 months.
Yeah.
And then I read The Ember in the Ashes.
Yep.
Which was like fast. Okay. Like, there is, it's the opposite. There's no, like, and the thatched roofs were thinly woven in sand. It's like, there was a house and shit happened.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's go. Bang, bang.
I've done a number on myself reading witches now, though, because the language is quite similar.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what, the 16-somethings? Yeah. I'm reading it and I'm like, oh, I've done it again. I've got to concentrate.
Yeah. The issue I had with that one is because it was so punchy. It was really hard to put down. So I was reading past my curfew often because I was like,
that's,
I can read another chapter.
That's so naughty.
I can read another chapter. I know, it's such a rebel reading too much. but Mistborn has like a part two that's set 100 years ahead. I'm not ready for that yet either.
Okay.
So I need a new direction.
Well, hopefully you find one. Hopefully Zoya's recommendation was a good one.
Yeah, so hopefully. We'll see. We'll just blame her if it's not.
Easy.
Yeah. What are you, outside of witches, are you reading anything?
No.
That's it.
Nope. I am.
Are you a nonfiction person, generally?
Yeah. I think the last book I read cover to cover quickly was the Louis Theroux autobiography.
He's releasing a podcast, did you know?
Released.
Oh, it's out?
Yeah, it's like 8 or 9 episodes deep and I was,
And you're on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. He was on... I think he was on with Chris. No, I just got an ad. I was listening to Chris and there was a Spotify ad.
He did one of the last episodes. I was like, have you ever heard of Chicken Shop Date?
I have not.
No? Okay. So it's his YouTube. Have you ever heard of Chicken Shop Date?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like this, it's this lady that goes and I don't know how to describe her other than like, she's just like this perfectly average UK woman.
Yes.
And I can't remember her name
because
she's Chicken Shop Date lady.
Yeah.
And she goes on, she takes rappers, particularly like grime UK rappers, to random chicken shops and records a date. And her humor is very dry, but funny. And she will never release an episode small and 10 minutes long.
Right.
And it's very funny. And I had only heard of her with Jack Harlow because I have like a sick obsession with Jack Harlow.
I have a bit of a crush on him too, to be honest.
Oh my God, he's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But anyway.
They Don't Love It is like my G up song.
And that's just like not even the best of it.
It's the best. It's his best track.
But yeah, Louis Theroux interviewed her. He interviewed, I think, Shania Twain.
Yep.
He's done a few pretty good ones already. And they're
all... Is that
all
how you say her name?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Shania Twain.
Yeah.
How else would you say
her first name? I don't want to say that loud.
Shania.
Shania?
I don't know how I said it, but it wasn't that.
Like, let's go, girls, Shania Twain.
Yeah. You like didn't grow singer. Up. You didn't grow up no. with a white mum, bro.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, well, there you go. You're listening to him every day, Tim. Yeah. Happy to bring Let's Go Girl Shania Twain into the conversation.
Some culture.
But yeah, Louis Theroux, everything that he does no wrong to me.
Yeah, he's very good.
He very is my good. Ideal kind of media personality.
Documentary king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so no, I'm just like heavily on podcasts because I could find time to do these things, but I'm just finding that I'm a little bit stretched thin at the moment. Mm. So I'd rather listen to a podcast, and I can't quite get around audiobooks the way I can get around a podcast.
I used to be audiobook king.
Yeah.
Loved it. Then I started podcasting more, and then I started reading more.
Yeah.
And I used to just be a bad reader. I wasn't good at it.
Yeah, it's a skill.
So I think once I got better at reading, like I'm absorbing this information way more effectively than I would be if I was listening to a dry voice. Read it,
yeah,
which I think is the key. Like, there's good audiobooks where like the author reads it, they're entertaining.
Come Up for Air or whatever, that was the last audiobook I did, and I was like, I'm listening to this like it's a podcast.
Yeah,
so that was fine.
Yeah, yeah, so that's good. Growth, Carol Dweck, that we talk about all the time, is good on audio. Extreme Ownership's good. The Peterson books are good because he reads them. Who else is there? The Gary V ones are way better to listen to than read. The Goggins one is entertaining to listen to because he's full on. But like, it has to be like the writer has to be a personality. Yeah. Otherwise, it's like
dry.
Ugh.
Yeah, I'd rather listen to my own voice read it in my head.
Yeah, but where I was going to go and actually maybe start to make this useful for anyone listening, I think you can get in a huge trap of listening to too much content and never doing anything with it. So 100%. It feels like obviously. The term mental masturbation, it feels like you're doing heaps, but you're really doing nothing.
Yeah. That's like, actually just making it learn related now, but I've had like a few conversations and consultations with people for the mentorship, and in our conversations talking about it, they're just like, yeah, like I'm doing so many masterclasses and I'm doing so many courses. Like, what nutrition course should I do next? And all of these things. And it's like, do you know that you're not actually going to be the perfect trainer until you practice being a trainer?
Yeah.
There's only so much that you can read about and learn about. And I think it's good to, if you're reading a book or listening to a book or listening to a podcast with the intention of absorbing it, you need it to be your main focus. And it cannot just be, you need to be ready to take notes, or you need to be ready to do something like that and actually take action on it. Because I would much rather not read a nonfiction self-help business style book, know that there's so many things I could be doing, and then just apply none of them.
Yeah.
Like,
there's a balance too, because like the message that we send a lot as well is like, you're the average of the people that you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
And if you don't have people ahead of you to surround yourself with, that becomes a challenge. But books, podcasts, YouTube channels are a great way of doing that. But I think it's being really conscious of what you're trying to get out of the thing. Because it's the same. You'll have people ask us all the time, like, what book should I listen to for this? What thing should I listen to for that? What should I, and like, do 40 sessions.
Yeah.
Like, like just go and do 40 sessions. You'll learn more. Because then even like, so a book I really love is The Courage to Be Disliked.
Yep.
So the message of that book is basically like, you will decide in a moment what a experience means to you, whether it's positive or negative, how negative. So like experiences that we have now, we put different meanings on them than what the exact same human being did 150 years ago because society has different impressions of what they are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that is a really, really, really valuable insight. But if you haven't worked with enough people, you actually can't go, oh, that's why this is really a really big deal for this person, but that person didn't care and why I have to shift, because you don't have the frame of reference. It's just like, it's a really cool piece of information and that's why my mum does this. It's like, yeah. 100%. How much are you actually getting out of it? Because I think, yeah, it's such a balance. Because it's also like we did the whole self episode. It's like your business will only grow as much as you do. So there does have to be a part of it, but there needs to be.
You always have to be reaching for something.
Yeah.
Like you've always got to be aspiring to something. And, you know, I can listen to, I can't, but I can listen to all the Goggins in the world and I'm not going to go put myself through half of a quarter, a tenth of what he has.
Have you seen the, there's a reel going out around at the moment that's like, fuck Goggins. No. It's like whenever you're chilling out and you did, then you remember that David Goggins exists. And it's this guy, like he's laying on his bed chilled and he's like, fucking Goggins. And then he gets up and goes to his cupboard, fucking Goggins. And then you see him put on his shoes, fucking Goggins. Yeah. And then the next photo is him like fucking up this massive mountain and he's just like, fucking Goggins. It's so good.
But yeah, you can't just like, like, you'd also be incredibly lost if you took it on the other end. Like, you need to obviously know your values and your service.
Yeah.
Because you can.
Well done, and, Jess. You can post all the time.
We've all done it. I know you and I have, and we've spoken about it. Like, because we've got, like, we've got similarities in our personality types as well. But, you know, chasing the next golden, shiny golden thing. Yeah. So you read about something and you're like, this is the best fucking thing I've ever read in my life. Yeah. And I need to do it. And I need to do it right now. But you're like, oh, that really doesn't align.
Yeah.
Like you look back and you're like, I actually wasted time setting that up because it doesn't align with me. So like, you know, I'm going to use an example of like the, don't like shoot me, but like I've seen so many 1 1/4 squats in my feed at the moment.
Mm.
All over the place.
Interesting.
I'm seeing them everywhere.
I did them at Pilates.
Big boy things. I'm not talking about you tough boy Pilates. But like, so it's just like one example. And like, I know the person that's received an exercise from their coach and given it to their clients and you know, that thing. Yeah. And I think it's the same with business. People be like, oh my God, Gary V said this. Hormozy does this. And I want to be like Layla. So I need to do what Layla's doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a nose job. But like I need to do what Layla's doing so I can, you know, do that. And I think it's also important on the other end. You can't just listen to everything and do nothing.
Yeah.
Because you might be able to hold a really good conversation, but it's not going to reflect in your service.
Yeah.
And then on the other end, you can't do everything. Like coming up for air, the two main things that keep come up for air, whatever the book's called.
Yeah.
Two things that always come into my mind is inbox zero.
Yeah.
Still to this day, my inbox is empty and dealt with straight away. And I have specific periods of time. I'm not someone that receives a lot of emails, but booking things now with Fit College and locations, like my emails are quite time sensitive and important and contract negotiations now and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, having specific times where you look at your emails and I've specifically turned notifications off on my phone.
Yeah.
Because I have the tendency to look at a message.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I will need to reply to it then and there or forget.
Yeah.
So, you know, got inbox zero and then having different platforms to communicate.
Yeah.
So, you know, both of those things help me deliver my service and therefore the people that I'm dealing with, whether it's on the outside of the business or clients, get the best out of me.
All the time, yeah.
But if I try to apply everything from that book, I'd be lost and do everything subpar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really good example. And I think if you're reading that book, for example, you can read that and change nothing.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, I read it. It was great. It's like, okay, why? What? Yeah. What's the tangible thing that actually you actually changed off the back of it? I'm reading... What's up, guys? You're listening to the STC Fit Learning Podcast brought to you by ourselves. feel free to go check out our website, so stcfitlearning.com. On there, we have a bunch of free resources, including how to niche your business, how to actually sell during consults, and a free programming template, plus our business scorecard, which you can go and take and see how you stack up in the industry based on what we think is elite and how to become the best trainer in your gym, in your town, and in the industry. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. If you take a screenshot and tag us, we really, really appreciate it. It really helps get this message out to help improve our industry and keep people in their personal training careers. Enjoy the app. How to talk to anyone at the moment. So it's 93 language and body language tips to make you a better communicator. So I've found in my own life, podcast environment. So the best example of it, actually, I'll come back to that. Podcast environment, presenting on fitness, being in the gym, running a fucking powerlifting event, whatever. Like,
yeah,
my heart rate doesn't change.
Yep.
Stepping up in front of a room of people anymore if it's about fitness.
Yeah.
I had to open up for, it was like a naming day with family and friends, not about fitness. My voice was shaky and shit. I was like, what the fuck is this? My wedding? Like, they're like, you public speak all the time. Like, not to my friends.
Yeah.
I even had someone message me because obviously we had the reel came up last week about like the basically me crying on the internet. And I had a friend message me like, oh, I've tried to reply to this so many times. I didn't know what to say. So it's just sent like love hearts. And I was like, fuck, dude, I honestly just forget that my real world friends
see this.
See my internet stuff. She's like, yeah, it was really sweet. She's like, you can talk to your real world friends as well.
Yeah.
But it's a weird sort of dynamic. If I go into a room that I'm not
an authority.
My perception is that I'm not the guy.
Yeah.
I'm happy just to fade into the corner. And I behave differently. Very interesting,
because that's like very ego related as well, if we want to look at it from that. So like when you're not, very interesting. Yeah. I am more nervous. Then again, like public speaking is not something that I've done a lot again until recently. Yeah. Long time in between workshops and things like that. But getting up in front of people to deliver content mm-hmm. versus delivering conversational things.
Yeah.
I can talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And I can have a conversation with a room like it's nothing. Like introductions are the easiest thing at the start of like these events and whatnot. Like more than happy to walk up there and be like, hey guys, I am so nervous and I drank so much coffee. I might shit myself in front of all of you. But hey, I'm Jess and like I'm okay to do that. But then when it's delivering information and I know so many people are the same and I'm the same on the internet, mm-hmm. I'm like, what are people going to think of me?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be the authority on this. And what if someone's going to say something to me that they're second guessing what I'm saying? And even though if I know to my core and believe in what I'm saying,
yeah,
I get nervous about that. So it's very interesting. That's exact opposite. Whereas with my friends, I don't care. Or if people in a conversational introducing myself to anyone, I don't care because I'm Jess and I'm infallibly Jess. Like I can't be anyone else. Mm-hmm. So it's easy.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, I'm the same. I just don't take. Yeah, I take a huge step back in the room, which is, it's really interesting. So this book is a great example of it. There's 93 tips. I got three in and I was like, I have to, this is like, I was so enthralled by it.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. What's the next one? What's the next? And I was like, you have to stop.
Apply them.
I stopped at three and I'm like, go to the fucking cafe and do all three of these.
Yeah.
And
what's one of them?
So there's one's called, they all got stupid names, so they stick in your head.
Yeah.
One of them's called Sticky Eyes.
Yep.
So you, with male to female, female to female, excessive eye contact is good.
I noticed that you've made so much eye contact this podcast because I'm an eye contact person. Yeah, and I was like,
I'm
eye contact.
I actually am not.
Yeah. I'm that's like why I noticed.
Almost like, high autistic Heidi sort of like I don't know why.
Yeah.
So there's that, but female to female and female to female, male to male, move more often because it can be threatening. So that was interesting. So I said we went to coffee yesterday. And I've told Amy about it, and the waitress wouldn't look at me. I was like, she won't fucking make eye. I can't practice if you won't look at me. Like, fuck. And then the next one was holding. So there's two versions of that. So it's kind of like two into one. Then what's the other one? Holding your smile.
Yeah.
So if you can get eye contact, don't smile instantly. Hold it and then smile. Because otherwise, when you smile at everyone straight away and you lead with a smile, it can look nervous or like it's just a throwaway. You just smile at everyone.
Interesting.
Whereas if you hold, then smile, they're like...
It's for them.
Yeah. So I've been trying that.
Interesting.
Yeah. I haven't got the smile one because no one will hold eye contact.
That's so interesting. I'm just a smiler.
Yeah. Well, I am too because I'm conscious... in certain environments that I'm like, I'm the me head guy.
Yeah.
So I'm the guy that's like overly polite at the cafe because I know what I look like. And I think even spending time living in Essendon and I was still way rougher, like basketball singlets, high socks and J's.
Right.
And a flat peak hat going into a cafe with like the Lululemon people. Be like, hey,
Pilates girlies, your new crew.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, thank you. And like exaggerating the holding the door open, please and thank you. Change, like pulling my pitch up really high. So I'm like, I'm not threatening. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because I would literally have people cross the road when I was living there.
Well, I've seen this reel of like things I say as like a feminist male when I walk past women in the street.
Yeah.
And it's like, all shit like that. It's like, I'm not going to hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wear pink at home.
Yeah.
And just like all this shit. And it's like, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of like the level of body language you have to change to be less threatening.
Yeah. And I saw one the other day. It was like coughing when you're walking behind someone so they don't get scared. I do it all the time. Kick the floor or cough or just like make a noise. Like, hey.
100%.
Yeah. I heard,
I thought that was normal.
I heard Shallow talk about it. He followed this car for like a kilometer to the apartments, got out of the car at the same time, and then just were heading in the same direction.
Yeah.
And he saw her grab her keys and he was just like, I live in 181B.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not following you. It's okay. It's like, he's fucking twice the size of me and tattered and bearded and terrifying.
Oh my God.
So it's just like, I see Jace do it too.
Yeah.
You might not have even seen that size of Jace yet because he just does work, Jason. When Jace sees Amy, I'm like, who the fuck are you? Because it's just like higher octave, body language changes.
Interesting.
It's like, oh, hey, how are you? Kiss on the cheek. I'm like, who's this guy? I remember we did pinches one day. He did mine. It was just like body fat pinches. He's like, shirt off, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Turned to do Amy's. And he's like, all right, so... I need you to take your shirt off. I just need to get to here. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So just like, I was like, fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
So you do have that button.
Oh, I reckon the only time I've seen that, oh my God, Jason, we're talking about like you, you're not here. But
in loving memory.
Yeah.
just reminiscing about R.I.P.
We all miss him. Yeah. No. So like I've had a few training sessions with you. Oh no, I've only actually had a couple of training sessions with you really.
Yeah.
You know, the one at Doherty's was like, Jace was mainly with his clients and things like that. And obviously I'm with my coach. So, but whereas like the last training session we did, I benched and you were there for my bench. And then it was like, I was just broing out.
Yeah.
And I was like to Jason, help me out with these and whatever. Mm-hmm. And just like how differently, and when we got the content back from it as well, I could see it. I'm like, he was so, not that you're not nice, Jason, but he was just so nice. Gentle. And like, you just don't care, like as a woman that can get really highly strung when males come too close in my space.
Yeah.
Unless I'm like hugging them. I'm like, just so comfortable, so gentle to like, just to be like, move here, do this, but like gently.
Yeah.
And yeah, so only kind of have seen that. But very interesting.
So it's an interesting, I guess, thing to, we all play different roles in different rooms.
Sure.
So, and then like, obviously, coming back to training, how you show up with different clients will always be a little bit different. How you communicate will be a little bit different. And that's a real skill to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're a personal trainer who's having trouble building relationships, connections with your clients, I'd probably recommend the book because, like, yeah, I think you'll learn a lot in even just consult time.
Yeah.
Because people will go like, oh, I haven't changed anything, but I'm missing all my sales. It's like what you say probably hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Your eye contact, your posture, your tone, all of those things.
100%.
You can hear it on the phone. It's not just like in person that this stuff's changing. You hear it on the phone as well.
You can hear smiles. You are mindful, like you're aware of when somebody is having a conversation with themselves with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like a very personal trainer thing to do. And I know on the days where I couldn't be bothered, you'd get bored of yourself because you're like, how was your weekend?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
It's boring.
That's 12.
And yeah. Next. Yeah. And like consults is very much the same. Like it can be super intimidating to get vulnerable with people, but I think it's part of a reason I'm good at my job with like mentoring, and I think I'm quite good at sales, like when it comes to clients, because at the end of the day, I just want to get to know you on a deeper level, and I'm willing to be vulnerable, and matching people's energy and doing things like that is very, very important in the job. But it's probably also a reason why at times, I think, especially with you and Jason, and you do talk about it a lot, like losing touch with what it was like to be a new PT again. Yeah. One big thing that I'm working on now with them is managing their energy because of how exhausting it is to have 30 something sessions and 18 different clients.
Yeah. Especially if you're a bit introverted.
Totally. Or you're new, you don't have a lot of life experience and it's one of your first jobs.
Yeah. I hate labels, but I think, and I would hate for anyone to hear that and be like, oh, I'm an introvert. That's why I'm exhausted. It's like, no, I was too.
Yeah.
I still do 50 sessions a week. Like,
I'm an extrovert and it exhausted me.
So it's that growth mindset thing. Like you can develop that as a skill. But definitely energy management. Like we've talked about, like people get into like 25 sessions, like, oh, I'm so exhausted. It's like you still got 15 in the tank.
Yeah.
Like it's just learning how to A, communicate, how to engage, how to switch off, how to pull in and out. And it's trainable. It's like exercise. Oh, like you build tolerance.
Like even looking at it from like a service perspective. So we know people in standout PT that are like, I am trying to transition to a hybrid model. Mm. So I have slowly removed all my evening sessions.
Yeah.
And you can best show up for your clients because you can be present and you can be there.
Yeah.
If you're somebody that's like, your client can only train on a Sunday. So you're now working on a Sunday because your client can only do that. Yeah. Like these are boundaries and things you have to learn about yourself. So I know for myself when I was coaching, it was like max, like 2.5 hours at a time.
Interesting. Yeah.
So if I did more than that, I would begin to look at the clock.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be present with that person and I would get sick of hearing the same conversations and knowing that I was initiating those same conversations.
Yeah.
So, but that was what worked for me.
Yeah.
For a long time, I was like, fuck yeah, let's just smash out 6 hours in a row and be done. I wasn't giving my best service when I was doing that. And that's something that took a lot of reflection as well.
Yeah.
So I think that if you're getting to a point where you are tired, just know that even if you think it's not, your clients can tell.
Yeah.
And they may not notice it straight up, but it will reflect in your service as well. So personally for me, I know that I was getting stretched a little bit thin because when I was spending time with my son, I was thinking about the person that I had to contact or the message I had to reply to or the post I had to do and it would reflect in either getting things done too fast just to tick it off or in me not being present with him.
Yeah.
And that, you know, things had to change and now like daycare has come into play and I've had to change my schedule so I can give 100% to those small things.
Yeah.
With the mentees, it's like, oh yeah, I prefer when I have a night off a week because I've got something to look forward to because I love my job, but I need to have, you know, that night. Great. You have your Wednesday nights off. And you make the other nights a little bit busier so that you can have that if it means that when Thursday comes around, you're not a fucking zombie.
Yeah.
You know, working with Ben, who is a brand new PT, and being like, he has Saturdays off and he works Sundays.
Yep.
And that works for him because his clients can do Sundays, but he's like, I draw the line here.
Yep.
And it's like, great. You, as long as you've got those boundaries that you can show up and still be excited and not drag your feet. And it shows in retention and it shows in all of these things. Like, there's so much feedback around you outside of feedback forms with your client that are telling you if you're supplying a premium service.
Yeah. And feedback you're giving them as well. Right? Yeah. It's what stopped me from partying.
Yep.
I did a 12-week challenge and I was like, I'm just not going to drink for 12 weeks and see what happens. And I was like, oh, I could do another 10 sessions a week now.
Yep.
Because I'm not hungover till Wednesday.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, this is a thing. And that was it for me. It was like, okay, this is way more important than that. So that solved that whole problem. So yeah, really useful. So go read the book, become aware of how you're managing your energy, how you're managing those sessions. I was more like the 4-hour blocks. Yeah. I was actually talking to Amy about it last night. So she does mindset coaching.
Yeah.
Super heavy, one-on-one hour sessions, often back-to-back. And she'll say like, for the second one, she was saying like last night, she's like, I was like, fuck, this is going to be hell. She goes, within 2 minutes, you just like kicked into, I don't like using the term performing, but it is.
Oh,
and you should almost consider your session, so this is tying into service now, is a performance. You're performing for your client. You're there for them. And I remember like having a gap, going into the PT room, fluoro lights, sitting down. You walk out and you're like, what fucking day is it? Where am I?
Yeah.
And who are you? What did we do yesterday?
Yeah.
And then within 30 seconds of that like initial part of the session, it's like, right, okay, I'm here. Let's go. Get to the car. It's like music off, drive home, don't speak to me until I've eaten.
Yeah.
An hour later, I become a person again. Like there's ebbs and flows of that. You've just got to be conscious of when you start bouncing back.
Yeah. And I don't think it's insulting at all to say that there is a performative aspect of face-to-face coaching because your clients don't deserve the you that you feel on the day. They deserve the service that they're paying for.
Yeah.
And you do need to show up. And that can be exhausting for you and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, always. Like, you are a human, so you can tell them that you're not feeling it. But at the end of the day, something that will always stick with me is a client is one part of your day and you're the highlight of their day.
Yeah.
So you need to really hold yourself to that standard of they're only seeing you once or twice a week. Think of how many – there's 164 hours in a week. You are such a blip on their radar, whereas they are work to you.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure that they walk away feeling better than
I remember having so many clients that came to me who were just like, oh, yeah, my last personal trainer just talked about themselves all the time.
Yeah.
They were going through X, Y, Z, and it was almost like you know, when you go to the hairdresser and they just – it's like they tell you the drama. It's like, how many times have you told this drama story this week?
Yeah.
Like, fuck, isn't that exhausting?
Yeah.
And yeah, like the personal trainers have a tendency to be the same. So I think that awareness of the performative aspects is really important. So before we keep going, I just want to give you guys a little message about our Standout PT program. So Standout PT has been designed for personal trainers who want to sustain a long-term career in fitness, but right now they're sick of chasing clients, they're not making enough time for money, and they're super frustrated with the results that they're getting in their business, and they can't see themselves being here in 3 to 5 years' time. If you want to know more about the Standout PT program, head to stcfitlearning.com, head to programs, and all the details are there. And you can book in your free exploration call where we can have a look and see whether or not that would actually be a suitable program for where your business is at right now. And back to the episode. So service overall, bruh.
Oh.
Shadow's trying to trash the studio.
Shadow's like, I'm going to pull this out and just fuck with you all.
No, I think we're good.
Oh, hello, Angel.
So I obviously was trying to put together a condensed version of what we do in Standout into a 10-minute video for YouTube. And my editor was like, we're going to charge you double for this because it's too long. And I was like, fair enough. But I think still now, as much as it's better, and you've been in the game not quite as long, but long enough to know when people didn't even have programs.
Oh, 100%.
And so look at it now and be like, well, everyone, I hope. It's like that's base level, right? Now yeah. It's like, okay, what's next? We had a chat last week about like the state of PT in Melbourne. And my sort of opinion at the moment is because the Melbourne personal training scene weren't working the same way during that 2 years as everyone else.
Yeah.
They got left behind in service and expected the same thing to work when they came back. And the culture had changed around them. The demand of what people wanted had changed around them.
Yeah.
And they hadn't evolved with what the market wanted. I put a post up yesterday about how the evidence-based era sort of started to die. Maybe when I started PT, so 12-ish years ago, that was probably the peak of it.
I was just about to say, nah, because it was definitely there 8 years ago when I was in it.
So like, maybe 5 years after that, people started to really slowly move away from it. And I always felt out of place a little bit because I was more about the person, the individual, but it's like, oh, I should be reading studies and I should be quoting this and I should be saying, well, the science says, and it's like,
yeah.
It was always a bit of a challenge and I never felt smart enough as a trainer during that time. And then when the pendulum started to shift towards like, how does your client feel? What's their experience? What's actually going to work? You know what I mean? Like all of those things started to come together. I was like, okay, I fucking got this.
Yeah.
This is what I do. So it's been obviously good for some people, not so good for others. And the beauty of being in both eras is the study that we did early means that we don't talk about it enough because we assume most people have that level.
Yeah.
But the programming, the nutrition, the coaching, the conversation language, the check-ins, the resources, the everything, like it's fucking tight.
Yeah.
Because it had to be. It was the only thing that sold back then. You had to have the best program, the best nutrition, whatever. And that's what got sales.
Yeah. And it was very like circle jerking amongst like the PT community as well. And
I don't think that's changed, to be honest.
Oh, no. It's still very much the same. I think that's something that I'd always struggled with content because none of that aligned with me.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that stuff. And I couldn't post, and I'm even the same with like technique videos. Like I really struggle to do those things because I'm still like, there is so much context variability around these things and I can't tell you how to do a quad or a glute focused Bulgarian split squat because you know what? You might have to do it differently. I want you to hold onto a pole, but I want you to have a dumbbell in a suitcase position. I want you to do goblet. And there's just so many things that I'm like, we're in a personal business. Like we work with people personally in a one-on-one capacity. And whilst the evidence-based era was fantastic for educating us, it really highlights now, like there are some people that still very much do that and that's okay. Mm. Like I think it very much highlights people that are more aware of how to apply the evidence-based era to their crowd.
It's interesting. I wonder if... Because there's never been a higher distrust, at least in my lifetime, a higher distrust for authority than what there is right now.
Yeah.
And that's like the police, the government, the corporations,
whatever.
Like that's a general cultural shift is... I watched this...
Because the majority is now in that same. So we are not, we're like Caucasian, English speaking... middle class, like, do you know what I mean? Like, we're not in minorities.
Yeah.
So this is the first time where the majority has felt that precisely.
Yeah.
So
I watched this cult video from, was in Victoria that blew my mind that happened in my lifetime. It's on Netflix. Can't remember the name of it. Anyway, and it was just like it worked because he was a top guy at Melbourne Uni, and they were all lawyers and doctors, and they were trying. I was like, fuck that. Telling me you have a degree now was like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, so.
Great. Yeah. How's your hex? Have you paid it off yet?
Yeah. So, whereas now it's like this distrust of authorities. If you're leading with an authoritarian message, I'm smarter than you, so you should train with me and do what I say. I think that actually is really pushing people in there. I only thought of that while you was sort of going through that. I think that's a potential reason why, and that is there's nowhere that that's stronger than Victoria.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that comes down to the thing we've always said, though. Like, there's a reason why the most charismatic but not the smartest person in the gym's
busy,
consistently busy.
Yeah.
Because yeah. personality and the ability, yeah, relationships matter.
Yeah.
And you're not going to pay a substantial or, you know, a significant enough amount of money
yeah.
for a service that is not a necessity. Like, yeah. we can, you know, like, our service is incredibly important. We obviously back it and we have very good careers because of it.
Yeah.
But it's a privilege to yeah. be in a position to pay to for a trainer, yeah. right? And, like, so to have that ongoing, that's relationships. They don't give a fuck because, like, they someone – we all know what PubMed is now.
Yeah. And we all know 2 grams per kilo of body weight, protein. Like, yeah, no one cares.
You can go on any Fitfluencer's profile and find that information.
Yeah.
There's a reason why, like, people can, and I think this is important to note if you're a personal trainer, like, any person looking for a trainer can go on any trainer's profile to find out that information.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where.
What makes you different?
What makes you different is you, which is a huge thing that's come up for you and I this last week. It's like, oh, just being yourself's the answer.
Yeah, yeah. What's up, guys? Another quick break. I just wanted to jump in and tell you guys, remind you guys about the STC Fit Learning Mentorship. Now, our mentorship's been running since about 2016, where we've developed trainers through their first year of business in personal training and allowed them to leapfrog the first 5 years of mistakes that we made. If you're currently studying, looking to finish in the next month or so, or you're looking for someone to help you out with mentoring and all that kind of stuff, jump on, have a look at the details for the mentorship at stcfitlearning.com. Head to programs and mentorship and all the details are there. And you can come and be an STC Fit coach for an entire year. It includes all of our education and direct mentoring from our head coaches. Back to the episode. So I think... if we look at the practical, let's look at features for a bit, right?
Yeah.
Because when we communicate from a marketing standpoint, okay, so yeah, here's maybe a good saying. Feelings sell, features retain. So arguably, feelings are still required ongoing, but if you don't have the features, the good programming that gets a result, the varied nutrition plans that you can apply to the individual to get an outcome with the person you're working with. The, like, this is starting to list, like, the things I think are you must have.
Yeah.
An app.
Yeah.
We literally had people not train with us verbally say, I was looking for something with an app.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. We had one. I think it happened twice in a month and we had one the next month. Yeah. It's like, fuck. We knew for like 3 years that it had to change. We just didn't find the right one.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. This has to happen right now.
Yeah.
So an app is important. Some kind of check-in structure, must have. Programming for the session and outside of the session, must have. Some kind of nutrition guidance. You don't have to be qualified to refer someone to the Precision Nutrition fucking hand plan. Like, you should be covering, and people that are like, oh, I don't really, can't really be bothered with nutrition. It's like, well, you can't be bothered with body composition change and you're not going to keep your clients.
Yeah.
Because if you work in a health club in particular, Max from the Performance Hub put up a ripper reel the other day.
They've been going pretty good with content lately. I've really Max noticed them.
Max is great. Yeah. He's so sassy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think his daughter's like at an age where his life has routine again. So he's got room to create. And he's just like, he's back with a vengeance. Yeah. Yeah. So it was just, there's two types of people in the world. Those that want to look better naked and liars. And I was like, go. And then he did the Jordan thing where he got out of the chair and just walked
off. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that was awesome. So yeah, if you're not covering nutrition, even someone that's like, I just want to get fitter, it's like, they won't look better.
Yeah.
So facilitate that. So good programming, good nutrition protocols, some kind of check-in data tracking so you can show evidence of, because a lot of people, like, even when you put up your happy trainiversary, by the way, thanks. When you put up those, I was like, holy fuck. I didn't even realize how different you looked.
Because it's like a check-in photo every single week and you're like, it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing's going backwards. We're okay. And then results are good. Keep going. It's working. It's working. It's working. Then you look back over a year and you're like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Where I've had to do that with clients recently, I'm like, yeah, scales haven't really done what I sort of think they, can you send me a couple of pictures? It's been like 4 months and I'm like,
yeah.
Is that even you?
Yeah.
Like, Amanda, I posted the photo. I just posted the profile. It's like her face. I was like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
Wild. But her metrics are like not that impressive.
Yeah.
But to look at, insane.
Completely different.
So if you're not managing that stuff, when you've got a client that's like, oh, I'm just not, I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere.
You need to have the proof.
It's got to be there.
Yeah.
And then the next step up from that is like, we refer to them as resources, but there's got to be a way for you to deliver information that is really high quality, really well thought out, systemized, and delivered in a professional, high quality medium.
Easy to absorb.
Yeah. So what I mean by that is like, we ran it out of Google Drive for ages. Now we have the app, we can deliver it in there. But like, someone asks you on your Thursday night 7 p.m. client, asks you like, I'm having a bit of trouble with sleep. And you're like, oh, just like, turn your lights off earlier, read more, read before bed, turn your phone off, and it'll be fine. Like, thanks, boss.
Yeah.
Like, maybe some people will go and do it, but
yeah.
Compare that to, I'll send you my sleep hygiene checklist. And it's on that, it's like, got five, like, do these as minimum.
Yeah.
Do these for advanced.
Yeah.
And consider this, 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 and this.
Or
here's a video, here's a PDF, bang. And they're like, whoa.
Can you give me, I just need some breakfast ideas. Like, I just don't know. Instead of sitting there for every single client and being like, overnight we pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's some breakfast recipes.
Yeah. Built in, done.
It doesn't have to be that complicated.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah.
And it's not, what it does is mean your response isn't mood dependent. So your client experience is a better service. And you standing there to the person who doesn't have that, you stand out so much. And it's so easy.
Funnily enough, actually, on this, I had a consult, an online coaching consult with a lady last week, and she is like Australia's number one immigration lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, insane. And she's very busy all the time, and the service wasn't what she needed. She needed a face-to-face, like, for accountability. So, but, you know, we had to be honest with each other in that. Anyway, when we're going through and it got down to, like, the price, which didn't matter to her.
Yeah.
She pays someone to prep her breakfast, lunch, and dinner and deliver it.
Yeah.
So she didn't care. We were talking and she's like, that is a lot of value for that price.
That's good.
And I was like, the fact that you can see that definitely means something. And to have that, to get to the end of a consult where you're getting to know somebody for 35 minutes before you're like, by the way, here's the cost of what it is. And like, this is the actual what it is. To get to the end of that and her to say that, I was like, huh, gone are the days where I was a new PT that could only provide a program and that on the gym floor for it to be like, oh, I got to think about that price. Or like, and that's only one session a week?
Yeah.
Or those ones? Like, so to have that service that you know you're not undercharging.
Yeah.
But to have that service where you're like, okay, cool. I can back that I charge a premium price.
Yeah.
Because you have, one, you like me. You have my knowledge. But it's not just in your brain. You've got to have those tangible features ongoing for them.
Yeah, because it's like the shade that we as the trainers that would be interested in listening to us talk, the shade that they would throw at the busy trainer in the gym that's not quote-unquote good is that they don't get results. People look the same, blah, 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 blah. But they all charge fuck all and they have – it's community-based and they make enough just on volume.
Yeah.
If you're just relationship, just feelings, just engagement – arguably start to get in this weird world of dependency, and that's where you see like trainers who never really, we've been talking about just doing hope and not calling people out, but that's when you start to see people move from training to start to be something else that's kind of in this weird zone, like, I'm going to help you mentally. And it's like, A, you're not qualified for that. B, what are you covering up? Because you should be able to get the mental outcome to be able to do the thing to then get the actual result,
always, like,
which you can charge more for doing all of it, surely.
You're always going to mean different things to different people.
Yeah.
But you should be able to apply the same service to everybody. So if you start stepping into this weird psychology realm that you can't apply to everyone and you shouldn't apply to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've all seen that though. We've all seen that play out in the gym.
Yeah. So you've got to have the backing of results.
Yeah.
No matter how good the relationship you build with your clients, you should be still achieving outcomes.
Yeah.
And that comes from hard skills in terms of you've got to be the good motivator and do all the soft skill stuff to get them to execute the sessions, the diet, the check-ins, all the buy-in stuff. But when they actually execute, they better get a result.
Oh.
So that's it's a big part of the service thing. And that, so you can almost look at it as like two sides of the coin. It's like, what are all my features and what outcomes do they deliver if I get a robot?
Yeah.
And then, okay, I've got exactly the opposite of a robot. What structures, services, support do I have in place to get them to do the thing that I know that will get them a result? And it probably realistically is actually a regressed version.
Yeah.
But it still delivers a better outcome because they're doing something.
Yeah.
Like the 3-day-a-week train, the client that's like a new mom and prepping again, used to be a powerlifter and is coming back. And it's like, oh, I can only train 3 days a week and I can only train for 60 minutes. Like, okay, well, that's not the powerlifting program we used to follow.
Yeah.
Now we need to actually communicate way more and keep you motivated to get the 3 sessions in and make sure that those 3 sessions are still as effective as they possibly can, training 4 hours a week instead of the 8 you used to train.
Yeah. And having the soft skills to communicate that to them, that it's still significant.
Yeah. And like, hey, like we were talking about your training earlier with the setbacks and all that kind of stuff. Perfect weeks become fluid for certain people.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like it's an age thing, which is probably just a priorities thing, where you get to a point where it's just, it just shifts a little bit. It's like maybe 1 or 2 rungs down from what it used to be. Or it's still really high, but there's others that just have a greater demand.
Yeah.
So it's still top 3 priorities in your life to get the outcome, but your weeks look too different compared to when you were 22.
Well, you get older, your responsibilities increase. Doesn't even have to be family related. It's work related, life related, so many other things. Yep. And training, it's like that full circle thing where training becomes about health again.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like I started because I wanted to be healthy, kind of.
Yeah.
Comes back full.
Get girls, to be honest.
Same. And like it just comes around full circle again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think one of those, like, obviously we've given people something to think about, like, you know, you've got the communication, the resources and the results.
Yeah.
That wrap up your service.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the nice thing. You can put a little bow around.
Yeah.
But I think like a nice little self-check is like, yeah, if your social media is, you know, work related, when you jump on, what impression would you get looking at those last 9 or 15 slides? Do you have clients that get results to post?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's huge. Do you have information?
Do you have the documentation to show it too?
That you can get clients results, but you have to have the proof.
Yeah.
So the proof that you can deliver what you say you deliver, a resource of sorts or somewhere to send people, whether it's a PDF, whether it's, you know, it doesn't have to be a mailing list or a huge website or all of these things, but like, do you have something to show your knowledge?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be on your Instagram feed, but can you send them somewhere?
Yeah.
And do you have your personality, which can be in the form of branding, which can be in the form of all of that? And like, if I land on your page or you land on your own page and look back at it, can you see that stuff?
Yeah.
And if you can't tick, you may not now, but if you can't tick those boxes, that's probably where your focus should be. Not to post, but why don't I have client results to post?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's a fucking red flag.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some things to self-check and think about.
For sure. Yeah. What the question that I had thought about, trying not to make it too much about us. When you reached out to me for coaching, what was the criteria of like, this is what I am looking for in a coach?
Well, you and I had this conversation where I wanted to, because I was reflecting on my own service and what I value as a client and things like that. I went through our conversations on Instagram, which is where I found you, And I went right up to the top, which took a very long time. That's a lot of memes and conversations had in a year. But I went back. And so one, it was personality because I was talking about your dog and your life and blah, blah, blah. So it was that. And at the time, you had somebody that you were training that was like what I thought was a weapon at the time. And I was like, oh, her training looks interesting. And I was like, cool, it would be cool if I could do 10 pull-ups. Yep. And I was looking at stuff like that. So I was like, this person engages with me on a friendly level so we can chat. So I get along with them. And then the huge one for me as a coach, would I go to – if I could be coached by this guy, only if I could work for his business, not as in like you have to give me a job, which ironically ends up happening. But do I like their systems? Are they running a business or is this just a trainer? Mm-hmm. I've had an online coach that I used to transfer $2.99 a week to every month.
Yep.
I was paying for something very specific. I was paying for a program and check-ins.
Yep.
And he was trusting that I was going to transfer the money. Yep. So I've done that and it was great and we got along and we still get along really, really well. But I wanted a service and I wanted a business to pay my money to.
Yep.
And that's just what I valued as a trainer myself. Mm. So I was like,
had that exact same experience. I hired a coach and got a Word doc.
Yeah.
And I was like, I bought.
Yeah.
Because I need to learn the rest.
Yeah.
I need like, cool, the program's probably great in the Word doc, but I need to know who's at the top and how are they running shit.
Well, like, you know, he was great in a sense that I did have a Google sheet with everything in it. Like he was good at that stuff. But there was and I don't think I ask a lot as a client. I'm kind of like, give me the thing and I'll do the thing.
Yep.
Like I'm okay like that.
You're proud of me every now and then.
Yeah. Tell me that I'm doing a good job if I'm doing a damn good job. But yeah. And it was always like, cool. What does do they have a business? Do I get along with them?
Yep.
Do they have a client that I want to be like?
Yep.
Like at the end of the day, I'm never going to be that client, but I know that those results happened.
Yeah.
Because this person trained with this person.
Yeah.
So without knowing, like you ticked those three boxes.
Yeah.
And I reached out.
Funny because that's exactly what we've just explained.
Precisely. It's like it's so ironic. The results were there. Yeah.
The process.
The evidence was there that you were that person.
Yeah.
I liked the person behind it and you had things to offer outside of just one-on-one online coaching. Like there was more there. There's a community. Like I have met so many girls like I regularly chat to. Jaya, Megan, Mads.
Yeah.
There's more. Queensland. Your client from Brisbane, Katie.
Yep.
Like, and now there's like a community there as well as like an online coaching thing.
Yeah.
So there are just so many things that were appealing in that manner versus the online coach that was like program.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
Check in. And but that's the person for some people, I guess.
Yeah. So I think the takeaway there is maybe ask that question of your clients more.
Yeah.
I think personal trainers are afraid to ask that.
Yeah.
Because they think it's self-serving. But also a note, what I find is interesting, I think a lot of my clients report back to me, not that like, would I work for you? Because they're not in the fitness industry.
No.
But they're like, I can tell you, and they don't say it in this language, but it's like, I can tell you run something professional.
Oh, 100%.
And that is a piece of feedback I get all the time. It's like, you guys just look like you've got it on lock. Like you
exactly
know what I mean?
That's why I reached out.
Yeah. So it's like, if you can communicate, if you have an actual system in place, you're not reactive, you're not missing stuff, you're not whatever. And like I still fucking get a message on Monday. Like, hey, where's my program? Like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Like it's still, those things still happen, but the systems are in place and the perception is like, this thing's runs. It's ran for a lot of people and I can plug into that and be successful because I'm like a lot of the people that they work with.
Yeah.
So there's almost this mode of like the just be good kind of crew for that's as an example that miss that. It's like showing sales, showing business, showing those things. Like I was always hesitant to be like the learn fit thing to overlap.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, fuck, if I talk about sales over here and then someone
does
that
going to deter someone thinking, oh my God, it's all sales?
Someone's going to come and do a consult and be like, I saw you talking about like path of least resistance questions and shit. They don't. And I'm... Maybe it's because I work with people who are exposed to that, and maybe it means that I get a certain type of clientele because of that. But I know when I'm in an environment and someone sells well, I fucking love it.
I will buy if they sell well.
Yeah, I'm like
go you. You're good at your take my money.
Even if I don't, like we went to Metricon a few months ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, that dude, if I was buying a house, he's the guy.
Yeah.
Like he fucking did everything right. And I've walked out of other places and just be like, what the fuck were they doing?
Yeah.
That was trash.
Yeah.
And so it's like it actually good sales done well.
Yeah.
Actually adds to the client experience.
Totally.
Yeah. It's interesting. Hmm. Okay, anything else to add?
No. I don't think so. I think, yeah, it's more than who you are is important, but what you can give is just
gotta
as equally.
Got to have both. Yeah. If you're leaning too heavily one way, you'll get found out.
100%.
So, two things. If you're in Melbourne,
yes. We
will be, well, we are in Melbourne, but we'll have our workshop in Melbourne, 2nd and 3rd.
Yes, of September.
September, South Melbourne. I believe right now early bird tickets will still be up, but for 2 full days, we're going to cover all 5 of our pillars. So self, systems, service, sales, and skills. 2 days face-to-face. It's going to be fucking epic. I'm so excited for it. So if you haven't already, get your tickets, come along. And if you're interstate or even if you're still in Melbourne, we have our Standout PT business scorecard out at the moment as well. So if you are listening to this going, fuck, I don't really know if my service is good or not, go and do the scorecard and it'll tell you what we think are like metrics to say you've got it on lock or you don't. But beyond that, once you finish the quiz, you can opt in and you'll get a 10-page resource, which links to a bunch of other resources that you can actually bring those up. So if you identify there's something missing, you can go find specific resources to help you fix them without even paying us, because we're just good blokes like that.
We just want better trainers.
Yeah.
We just want good trainers.
Exactly.
Making money.
All right. Thanks, Jess, again, for making the trek.
Thank you. You are sorely missed, Jason.
Yeah. Hopefully, Jason will be back next week. We'll see. RIP, maybe.
Thanks for the chat.
All right. See you guys.